Amen. Has Jesus done anything for you?
Amen.
Amen indeed. I'm so thankful for His goodness to us, His mercy to us all along the way. And we've had a great week. We've had some tremendous services in the evening and some terrific sessions in the morning, Thursday and Friday morning as well. And today, we're looking for God to meet with us right now. And as Brother Hudson comes in a little bit to preach the Word of God, pray that our ears would be open to hear exactly what he would say to us. We're thankful for the missionaries that we had from the outside, and we've still got some of our own missionaries with us today, and what a privilege it is to be part of their ministries and serving the Lord. Well, we're going to take a couple minutes and welcome each other. So, church family, you see visitors in our midst, you want to make sure to say something to them and make sure they know that we are thrilled to have them with us today. Let's do that right now.
Stay standing with me. Turn to page number 105. Page number 105. On the second,
though they are slighting him, still he is waiting for heaven a child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save.
On the last,
rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently with them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save.
Amen. right, if you could turn with me one last time to page number 103. Page number 103.
The regions beyond, I must go, where the story has never been told. To the millions that never heard of his love, I must tell the story of old. To the regions beyond, I must go. The world, his salvation shall know.
On the last,
there are others, lost sheep, that the master must bring, and they might must his message be told. He sends me to gather them out of all lands and welcome them back to his fold. I must go, till the world, his salvation shall know.
Amen. You may be seated.
Gentlemen, if y'all will come forward, we'll get ready to see this morning's offering. We got a few announcements to go over here. Men's fellowship is going to be Saturday, 8:30 a.m. It looks like there's going to be some breakfast and work to follow. Says to see Brother Chuck, and Brother Chuck is on the road, I think, right now, if I understand it right. Y'all pray for him on his coming back from Arkansas. And the ladies' brunch is going to be on the 4th, and date night for the young couples. They still have kids, want to get rid of them for a little bit. It's going to be on the 8th. And it's not just for church members. Invite somebody to go out with you, okay? Bring them in. Just make sure they're picked up promptly because they will be given a puppy and a lot of sugar. So that same night, we're going to have an activity, the 7th and 8th graders on that night. We still need some volunteers for a project and activity. We need some prayer warriors and nursery workers. I'd like to invite everybody here to stay with us afterwards. We got our lunch in the back. We have plenty of food. And I love it when we have a true potluck dinner because everybody brings their best. We don't have to rely on whatever meat we're going to have to be okie dokie. This is going to be the good stuff. So sample a little of everything, and we got enough for all. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for a wonderful week you've had for us this week. Lord, again, we're asking you to bid this offering about to receive, bid the gift and the giver. Lord, we're expecting to hear from you this morning. Be with Brother Wayne, hide him behind the cross. Guard his words, give him the words that you want to say, and Lord, prepare our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you. splendor of heaven, he clothed himself with... Excuse me, between allergies and perfume today, I think something's got to me. Leaving the splendor of heaven, he clothed himself with humanity. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, so that freedom would become reality, that all may know he came from glory, that all may know became his story. Since washed away whiter than snow, his life he gave, that all may know. Stood an innocent man. They could not find a single fault in him. Jesus chose to obey the Father's will so that prophecy would be fulfilled, that all may know he came from glory, that all may know became his story. Since washed away whiter than snow, his life he gave, that all may know. That all may know. He came from glory, that all may know, became his story. Since washed away, whiter than snow, his life he gave, this price he paid. His life he gave, that all may know, that all may know.
Amen. Brother Hudson's going to come in a moment, but I wanted to share something with you that Brother Penny shared with me just before the service started. I guess it was a few weeks ago, a month or so. Missionary Jim Savali, another missionary to Western Samoa, was with us here, actually stayed at the mission house at the same time as the Fafawinas were, and they were able to complete the typesetting for the Samoan Bible. Well, I guess it was yesterday. Did you say it was yesterday? Jim Savali was sitting in with Fundamental Baptist Network Radio. It's operated by Fundamental Baptist Radio Network. It stretches many places in the United States. And they had set aside, I guess it was from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. yesterday, to raise money for the Samoan Bible Project. And between those hours, those 12 hours, they raised enough money to print and ship 5,000 Bibles for Samoa. And so we really rejoice in that. We praise God. Hey, there's folks out there that want to see the Word of God published. And I know the Fafawinas are very excited about that. And we are excited with them. And so you pray about that as all that comes together. The printers are ready to go. And now there's some funds as well to get that project going. There were already printers that were committed to print. So this is going to further that project along. Will you pray for Brother Hudson? Appreciate him. Appreciate his faithfulness to declare the Word of God. He cuts it straight, just as it was given, as the way he seeks to give it to us. And so you pray for him and give him not only your ear, but your heart.
I was just thinking, Miss Frances, if I wonder if I could get enough allergies to sing like that. Man, what a song and what a singing. What talent. Take your Bible, please. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Very familiar passage. Several years ago, I was asked to speak in a soul-winning conference, and the pastor assigned me the topic of a sustained visitation program. I told him that day when he assigned me, I said, I think you've got the wrong guy. I believe you ought to ask someone else to speak on this. He said, no, Brother Wayne, y'all are doing it, and you can present that. So I took all I knew about a sustained visitation program and went to the conference and told whatever I could tell, and was very troubled about everything I'd said and what I didn't say. And the main speaker didn't show up that day. So the pastor took me to lunch that day and he said, Brother, I need you to stay over and speak tonight. And he said, so-and-so's not coming, and we had a conflict in dates, and I just need you to stay. So I agreed to that. He put me in the prophet room that afternoon, and my flesh said, we need a nap. My heart said, you better get in that book. And I was very troubled about what I'd said that morning. So that night I got up and announced my subject, and I said, tonight I'm going to preach on there's no such thing as a sustained visitation program. And I thought he was sitting right there. I thought he was going to fall off his seat. I want to say this morning, I've been burdened all week about this message. This is the hardest message I preach all year long. I'm in my 7th missions conference this year, and it's not got any easier. You've got that little flyer. If you've picked up your mission literature, you got that little flyer that outlines a faith promise offering. I'll get to that after a while, a little bit. But what I do not want to do is preach mechanically on the 1, 2, 3 step of giving. I don't believe anywhere God honors that in the Bible. So if you stand at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm only going to read 2 verses, verse 14. This is the text I used that night at that soul-winning conference. I believe it's the text for everything we do. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Our giving hinges on our love for Christ. If we don't get that, our giving will never be what it ought to be. If we do get it, you don't need me to preach on giving. So let's bow for prayer. Brother Curtis, would you lead us as we pray, please, brother? Amen. You can be seated. I first wanted to mention the origin of giving. And I'll give you my second text. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The greatest giver set the example for our giving in his giving. Amen. He originated the giving, and he so gave that in our weakness we can give. In our strength, I've been thinking all morning about that verse over in Mark chapter 12. Jesus watched those folks coming by throwing their gifts in the treasury. I preached in some black churches where the deacon stands there with the treasury. And when the offering is over, then I've been there when the pastor said, "Y'all didn't give enough, come back." And they go again. Well, he was watching them do that day. And that little widow threw in two mites. Takes two mites to make a farthing. It takes a bunch of farthings to make a penny. I can't remember all that. But he said she gave more than all the rest of you. It was not because of the amount that she gave, but it was because of her heart. It was because the love of Christ constrained her giving. It was the love of God's work that constrained her giving. It was because God had loved her first, she was able to give. Right. And if we really give, it'll have to be in that fashion. It's not your arithmetic that determines your giving. And I know those calculators are running this morning. See, I've got this bill, that bill, that bill, that bill, and then we've got to buy this and this and this. And hey, he doesn't want your leftovers. I'm going to say that in a minute, so I'll go on. What he wants is your heart. Amen. And if you don't do what you do out of your heart, all the rest of this doesn't mean a thing. That word faith, promise. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if my faith promise is a head promise, it's not a faith promise. If my faith promise is an arithmetic promise, it's not a faith promise. Faith promise comes off the heart, and that's all it'll please him. Solomon did say it'd be better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. Remember, your vow is not to Jim Turner or to Metropolitan Baptist Church, but your vow is unto the Lord. So be very careful as you consider what you need to do in this issue. God so loved that he gave. And he did it out of his great strength. We do our giving, and that's what he wants, by his grace. And I preached last year on grace giving. I probably preached 2 years ago on grace giving. It's all grace giving or it's no giving. It's all the work of God in us or we haven't done anything. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, He said, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, you take witness of this, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. It was not out of their great ability, but it was out of their great inability. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul said, I'll take glory in my infirmities, and I will be weak so you can be strong. What we need to do is bring ourselves to God and say, God, what would you like to do through me? What kind of grace do you want to pour out on me? And then we begin to get the idea He gave the Savior. I'm not going there, but Romans 13, verse 8 said, before this world ever started, before sin ever entered, before time was ever in fashion, God already gave in eternity. We talk about eternity past, eternity future. There is no such thing. Eternity is eternity. It's always present tense in eternity. In the present tense of past eternity, he said, we've got to send a Savior. And the only one that can do it is you, son. And Jesus said, I'll gladly go. Amen. And so he gave. There's all kinds of verses. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. Romans 6:23 says that that there is none righteous, but he gave unto us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it was all in place before we ever got a hold of it. Over in Matthew chapter 20. Verse number 28, the Bible said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, I've got to do this Bible survey. 1:3 says, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself, for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world. We're coming down toward the Christmas season. I always love this passage, and I love to preach it at Christmas. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might, that we might receive the redemption of our sins. And because your sins, God, your sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I mean, it's all a work of God. Over there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, he says, there's just one God, and there's just one mediator between God and man. He is the man, Christ Jesus. It was all in the giving of God. It was not in anything that we ordained or that we could dream up or that we can do in our flesh that would earn us any state before God. It's all God. It was the gift of God. Over in Romans chapter 8, verse number 32, the Bible says, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Over in Titus chapter 2, we don't get there very often, but Titus 2:2, he says, in verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of all good works. Luke chapter 12, and I'll stop with this one. Y'all about had all you can handle. He said in verse 32, Jesus said, in verse 31 he said what he said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye the kingdom of God, and these things shall all these things shall be added unto you. 32 says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So I want to say, first of all, that when we give, we have not given. He gave to us. We received from him. And he said, freely we receive and freely we give. Over in Psalm chapter 50, the psalmist talks about the wisdom of his giving. There's a lot of verses, but I'm going to just read a passage here. In verse number 7, he says, hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy offerings to have it been continually. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds, or every beast, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Listen to this verse. Somebody said, well, I don't like to go down there to that Baptist church. They're always preaching about giving. I disagree with that. We do preach about giving, but what's preached week after week after week here at this church is that he gave to us. He gave the Savior. The Savior gave himself. He gave his blood. He gave the sacrifice. He gave to redeem us, that we who were sold under sin. That word redeem means he bought us back. He gave, so he paid the price we couldn't pay. And today we're free because he set us free. We have liberty because he gives us liberty. We know love because he is love. It is the love of God that's extended to us. And we only love him because he first loved us. Now what he says in verse 12 is, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. And he said, I don't need the flesh of your sacrifices. Here's what he says. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. You ought to mark that verse in your Bible. Verse 14, chapter 50. It is the wisdom of God that he gave to us. Over in Haggai, chapter 2. In Haggai, chapter 2, the children of the of Israel who have been in captivity are now back in the land. Ezra has led a remnant of folks back to the land. And they have laid the foundation of the temple. Some of them were the men who saw Solomon's temple in all its glory before the Babylonians had destroyed it. But some of them are the brand new babies who have come into the land and are back in the land of Israel for the, and it's all exciting and new. You remember that day when you got saved? You remember how your heart was full of joy? You remember how everything was just, all around you, everything was exciting. What happened to that? Jesus told that church at Ephesus, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. Have you left your first love? I preached a couple of weeks ago on have you lost your song? Don't lose your song. Go back to Calvary. Go back to that place where God gave. Go back to that place where he gave to you and for you, and remember what he's done for you. It'll be easier for you to give your praise. And the Bible said, when they were making such a noise, some were weeping and some were shouting, and you couldn't tell the difference. Here's what he said. Verse number 3, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes? Is it in comparison as nothing? He says down in verse number 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this house, this latter house, shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Hey, can you understand it? He does not need your dollar. He's not dependent on your dollar. I mean, everything belongs to him. And if you've got a dollar, it's because God gave you the job or the ability or whatever it is that earned that dollar. You're not a self-made man. You're a God-made man. It's in his wisdom. All of it's in his wisdom. And giving is in his wisdom. Over there in John, 1 John chapter number 4, he says this, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. How's your love life? I mean, is that love of God flowing through you? Do you know love? Are you full of love? Do you have love? Are you bitter? You better come back to these verses. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice that was necessary for our sins. I'm talking about God gave. And the Son of God gave. You listen, I'm not going there, but Psalm 22 begins with this. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why am I all alone? A picture of that cry that comes off the cross of Calvary when Jesus became sin for you and me, paid the price of our sins, suffered the hell of our sins on the cross, all alone. Now, I'm going to go on. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 gives you this. Ephesians 2:8-9 said, for by grace are you saved through faith. All we have is faith. That's all God gave us to exercise. All the grace is of him, and we're saved by that grace. Now he says down in verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. He's talking about the giving. Verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Down in verse number 15 of chapter 9, he sums up the whole thing with this: thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. I want to say the origin of our giving is in him. And if we give, early this week I gave you a testimony of a church in Houston that gave almost $1 million in a year. It's nothing. Hey, he can raise up a church to give $10 million. He said, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, the gold in the hills, it's mine, and the silver's mine. He's not limited. He doesn't need what we have. But he is given to us, and we become stewards for him in order that we might know the exercise of his grace poured through us. So the origin of our giving, then there's the opposition to our giving. I find that opposition in three different areas. I'm not going to dwell on it, but I would like to look at a couple of them with you. Over in chapter 12 of Luke, you remember the rich fool? And he said down in verse 17 of chapter 12 that he thought within himself, that's the problem. That is the problem. He said over in James, you lust and kill and desire to have, and you have not, because that you ask to consume on your own lusts. Our problem is a lust that is in us. That old flesh nature that still hangs around. I'll be first to tell you that I am not the giver in our family. I am not naturally a giver. I'm naturally a taker and a keeper and a squeezer and I'm that guy. And some of you are too, bunch of skin flints. I mean, you pinching every penny as it goes out. I'm not the giver in my family. I have had to learn giving through the grace of God. I have had to lay down Wayne Hudson in some areas of this thing of giving. Susie seemed like God gave her a talent for giving. She can give it faster than we can pile it up. If you don't ask her for anything, please. Come talk to me about it. We'll consider it. But the problem is, like this man, when it comes to giving, God called him a fool. But when it comes to giving, we consider it in ourselves. Isn't that the problem? Well, if I give, I won't have enough to do this or that or that. If I give, I may not be able to put anything in my CD. Or I may not be able to have any retirement one of these days. Well, the way it's working, you may not anyway, so you ought to just go ahead. It is the lust of our flesh that comes against us in giving. It opposes, hey, God saved me spiritually in a moment. God is saving me in my soul day by day by day as I become more like Christ. But in my flesh is just still as rotten as it ever was. Tonight when you take your shirt off, look at that ring around the collar and see how filthy your flesh is too. But he said he thought within himself. He did not consult God. He didn't talk about grace. It's all in himself. What shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barn. I will build greater. I will bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul. And when he said that, God said, you're a fool. He thought the barns were his. He thought the seed was his. He thought the harvest was his. He thought the money was his. But when he said, my soul, hey, you don't belong to yourself. God created you and breathed in you, and you became a living soul at His giving. And if you're saved, you have given yourself to Him. He bought you. You no longer belong to yourself. You're not your own. You have been bought with a price. Turn the page over to 15. Here's the little hot shot. He is raised in the Father's house, and he says in verse 12, the younger of them, see, the younger of them didn't have an inheritance. The older of them had the inheritance, but the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Let me read a verse right here. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Here's the mark of the last days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. I'll stop right there. We live in the I want it day. And our flesh will put us in our flesh desires will put us in poverty so that we cannot give. We got this credit card thing. And we're maxed out. Well, preacher, I can't give. I've already got too many bills. I just can't give. The answer to that is get out of debt. Romans chapter 13 says, owe no man anything. That's God's prescription. And if you would obey God, you could give. And if you would obey God, He'd give you grace to give. And if you'd obey God, you'd know the reward of that in your fullness of life. I'll get to the rewards after a while. But if you persist in your lust, Tennessee Ernie used to sing, you work 16 days or something, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. And that's where most of America's at today. That's where much of the church is today. We're in the I want it generation. You say, well, I don't belong to that. How about you 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old kids that's got that iPhone hanging on your hip? I mean, it's become, you have it kind of implanted. Huh? Who bought that? You didn't buy it. Mom and Dad bought it for you. They went in debt. They're paying that $100 a month bill so you can have that phone. If you don't have a phone, you're just not cool, right? Isn't that the way it is? If you're going to be cool, you've got to have that $100 a month debt on your mom and daddy. You didn't earn it. You're taking it. You saying what that younger son says, I want what's coming to me. We don't have anything coming to us. What we deserve is hell. Everything else is the grace of God. Amen. So, that's the end of that. Y'all glad of that? Our flesh. And then the world. The reason you want an iPhone and Reebok or Nikes or whatever the coolest thing in the world is right now is because you watch television and the world plants those things in your head. Every commercial says if you're cool, you got to drink Dr. Pepper. If you're cool, you got to have an iPhone. If you're cool, you've got to wear Nike tennis shoes. They don't call them tennis shoes anymore, but whatever they are. Isn't that true? And you older ones, you're too old to wear Nike tennis shoes, but you still want a Lexus or a Cadillac. And if you don't have that, you're not cool, right? Or a brick house, or carpet on the floor, or whatever it is. What I'm saying is it's all in this flesh. And the world plays on your flesh, and the world comes again. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And if we don't have the love of the Father, we cannot show the love of God to this generation. And that's what he's talking about. And then there's one more, and that's that devil. The devil's mad about it already. The devil kept some of you out of church this week. The devil said, oh, I don't like mission conferences, and convinced you didn't like mission conferences. What we had was missions revival. And I would say to this church, if you didn't hear a Sim testimony yesterday morning, you missed the biggest blessing probably of this year. I mean, God spoke to our hearts. So the opposition to our giving, I'm going on. There's more I could say. But there's an opportunity for giving. God gave us the opportunity to give. I'm not going to start where you think I'm going to start. I had a fella come running in my office out of breath one morning. He said, hey, did you know that tithing is not in the New Testament? I said, no, I didn't know that. And he left the church because somebody convinced him that tithing was not a biblical law for our day. It's not a law, but we don't live under the law. But let me just show you something. 430 years before the law was a fellow named Abraham. He didn't live under the law either. The law didn't come till Moses, right? You Bible scholars, over in Genesis chapter 14, he has rescued Lot and comes back home to find a fellow named the king of Salem, Melchizedek. And in verse number 20 of chapter 14 of Genesis, 430 years before Moses instituted the law for Israel, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. You say, well, yeah, but it wasn't tithes like we pay tithes. You don't know how much it was. Yeah, I do. And I'll show you where. Over here in Genesis chapter 28, Abraham has a grandson named Jacob. He's about as full of the flesh as any of us are. And here's what Jacob said down in chapter 28. He came down to Bethel, and verse 22 says, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So God told us how much the tithe is before the law. And Jesus did mention the law, regardless of what my man said. Jesus did mention the law of tithing over in Matthew chapter number 22, I believe it is. Let me look here. Matthew 28, verse 22. Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees, I want to read this, but I got to find it first. Well, it's not 28:22. Well, I'll just have to give it to you. He said, you tithe, you just really struggle to tithe your mint and cumin. And he said, and these things you ought to do, but you have neglected the weightier things of the law. And he talks about loving and serving and honoring God. You can look it up for yourself. I don't know where it's at. I got a wrong verse here somehow. How about Matthew 23:23? Let's try that. Let me read it. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done and not leave the others undone. So I would say to you, how many times does Jesus have to say it before we obey it? One time ought to be enough, hasn't it? He said that he honored this tithing. Malachi says, over in Malachi chapter 3, you can read Malachi 1, 2, and 3 and see what they were given. They were given the crippled sheep and the wool with the blemishes in it to God. And he says down in verse 8 of chapter 3, will a man rob God, yet ye have robbed me. And ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You having trouble getting from month to month? I'd urge you to get on God's economic program, pay your tithes, and trust Him to supply your needs. Somebody say, well, I just don't believe 10% is a tithe. Then where are you going to start? Where are you going to start with your giving to God? How much are you going to give? The waiter down at the restaurant wants more than 10%. So it's a good starting place. That's all it is. The next thing that he mentions is the offerings, and he gives us the instruction over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, not as how much there is, but where it's to be given. Verse 1, chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. That's pretty clear, isn't it? It's not a request, it's a command. He said, I've left the orders, and you follow orders. Upon the first day of the week, every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. He didn't say how much the gathering is, but he tells you exactly where it needs to go. It needs to go to the local church. So there's tithes and offerings. And then there's this other area of giving over in Luke chapter number 11, verse 41. He begins to talk about the alms. I just jotted down a few verses. The tithe is the Lord's. And he said it is to be brought into the storehouse for the maintenance of the church. The offering is to be brought as is needed above the tithe for special occasions. But when you talk about almsgiving, it's not a congregational giving, but it's an individual giving. And God honors individuals who give alms. Look at Luke chapter number 11, verse 41. But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. Down in verse number 33. For where your treasury, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. Over in Acts chapter number 10. Verse number 2. He says, a devout man, he's talking about Cornelius, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Down in verse number 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said, thy prayers and thy alms are come up as a memorial before God. I would say some of us need something to come up to God before God in our behalf, wouldn't you? I know this one guy that does. I need every good thing I said to God about me that I can get up there. And so almsgiving, he says, is an individual thing. I'll stop there. So three areas of giving, the opportunity for giving in tithes, offerings, and alms. And then I want to close with this. There's an outcome to our giving, the results of our giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, he gives us our walking orders as a church concerning faith, promise, giving. And I just wanted to notice a couple of things with you. I've already read a verse. If he says over in 9 chapter 9, he said over in 6 of chapter 9, but this I say, here's the principle. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That's an agricultural principle. I have put it in practice in my yard. I've got a hillside that can't get enough water to stay on it to grow grass, and I have to plant the grass on it. Last year, I bought cheap grass and scattered it all over that hillside, and guess what I got? Cheap grass. And it died as soon as the sun hit it. This year, I went down there and bought Scott's Level Best water-saving seed, and a little thing like that of it cost $12 or something like that. And I went out there and planted the best stuff and paid the water bill and put some water on it. Guess what? I've got grass springing up everywhere. We got to mow tomorrow. It's just coming up in abundance. It's an agricultural principle. Down in verse number 7, here's a spiritual principle, a supernatural principle, if you will. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There's a great difference in that verse and Malachi 3:8. Such a difference. He over there in Haggai, he said, you put your money in bags with holes in it, and it's trickling out faster than you can put it in. Here he said, I'm going to make everything abound for you. And that is the principle. An increased ability to give. Some of you have been in Faith Promise a few years, and you could give testimony tonight about your experience of tithing, offering, and almsgiving, and how that God has multiplied and increased your ability as you trusted God for His grace. It's a real principle in this page. Then there is, but you see, one reason that I really don't like those kind of testimonies, because it's so easy to sound boastful in what I've done. It's not what we did. It's what God did. That's what that verse says. It's not what we could do. It's what He could do if we would let Him do it. That's grace. So you won't hear too many testimonies like that. You'll just have to trust God and try it for yourself. Over in, so here's the outcomes. If we'll trust Him. Verse number one and two says, it is out of the abundance of their joy. Now, wait a minute. What do you Macedonians got to be joyful about? It says that you're in deep poverty. Well, money's not the happy factor. It's Jesus in your heart that makes a difference in your joy. And when you know you're right with God, I don't care how little money or how much money, it makes no difference in your joy. I don't care if it's a dark day or a sunny day, God's still God, and you're still His child. And it's a wonderful thing to know that. I've been more impressed with the refuge of His grace lately, a place to run to. David said we've got a hiding place. So increased ability and increased joy. Look it down in chapter 9, in these last verses of chapter 9, verse number 11. Verse 10 says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, that is generousness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. He's going to say again down in verse 12 that the administration of this service is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. And he's going to say down in 15 then, thanks be again to God. It's all of God. And so if there's any praise, it belongs to Him. And one of the products of this mission, Faith Promise Missions Conference is that God gets more glory. And then down in verse 13 and 14, he says, the God and the gospel are glorified, while by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. Let me just stop right there and give you this. I told a Sunday school class something this morning about, I had a national pastor who was a missionary out of our church in Matamoros, Mexico. I'd be afraid to guess how many churches have been started in North Mexico, even back down in South Mexico. One of them's in Henderson, Texas, out of that church. But here was the testimony of that pastor, that as a 17 or so year old boy who had become a back alley drunk in the streets of Matamoros and was headed to a devil's hell, there was an American missionary came in there and started a little church and preached the gospel, and Juan Becerra got saved. Last time I preached for Brother Juan, there was 1,500 people in the congregation. And there's at least six churches in Matamoros itself that come out of that church, maybe more by now, and all the way down. They came up there to get across the border. They found Jesus, turned around, and went back as missionaries to their people.
Amen.
But here was my point. I've heard him say it again and again and again every time he ever come to our church. Thank you. Thank you, gringos. Thank you, Americans, for sending missionaries to Mexico. I'm saved today. I'm a preacher today. I'm a product of what you did for missions. Now, some of them you'll never know until we get to heaven. But one day that little fella comes up and says, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm alive that was saved. One day we'll hear that, Metropolitan. One day we'll hear it from around the world, because we have given and they are being saved. He said, not only glory to God, but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. I wish Sim was here this morning. I'd just get him to stand up and say to you, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for loving me. I remember the day we moved him into that apartment and unloaded all the stuff that you gave. Amen. It was alms to needy souls. And I remember the tears and the joy and the thank yous that just kept rolling. They couldn't say it enough. Hey, that's just one here. We've got them around the world. And I don't want to lose one of them. I want to keep on giving, don't you? Let's stand. Heads are bowed. Father, I thank you for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of getting in on the grace of God. Thank you for just allowing us to be a part of the gospel of God and the glory of God. And thank you for those folks that we'll never see here on this earth that are already saying thank you for the giving. I got to ask you that you'd just take charge of each one of us. Help us, Lord, to yield ourselves and earnestly seek you right now. Whatever it is that you want to do with us, Lord, whatever you would have us to do, I pray you'd show it to us. Lord, it may be that we need to step down and say, I'll go. It may be that we need to just in the quietness of our hearts say, I'll support. It may be that we need to pray particularly for certain missionaries that we know, certain ones that are out there in the far-flung fields of the world. But whatever it is, help us to just do your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me read you a verse and then I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 4. He said, the end of all things is at hand. Be sober and watch and pray. Then he says this, use hospitality one to another, not grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards in the manifold grace of God. We're just saved by His grace. We call on Him by His grace. We can give by His grace. But our obligation is to share His grace. What number, brother?
Page number 157.
Brother Jim, I'll just turn this over.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby Thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me Thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
Amen. Well, beloved, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and be seated. Once a year, we receive what we call our faith promise offering. I'm going to ask the ushers to prepare for that. And there'll be no monies received in this offering. It'll be, you'll receive a card here in a moment. And guys, I need one for Jim Turner, too, when you get down here. But beyond that card, a place for you to mark how much the Lord would lead you to give towards the missionary efforts of Metropolitan Baptist Church. And you say, well, why do you do that? Why do you bother doing that card and all that? Well, a couple things. First, it helps us to understand and know what we're able to do in the coming 12 months for in missions, what we're going to be able to do as Metropolitan Baptist Church. But a second reason is that I think it helps me. Helps me as an individual to covenant between me and God that I'm going to do this, Lord willing, as You'd be pleased, enable me. And if I can get one of those. I forgot to get my own card. And I'm going to ask the gentlemen, you go ahead and hand those cards out if you would. As they do that, you'll see, very simple, not much on this card. There's absolutely no place for you to put your name. We're not asking you to make a pledge and that sort where we're going to come by and find out why you're not paying your pledge or something like that. Now, this is something between you and God. That's why we encourage you to pray and seek God's face in the matter, not not what Jim Turner or the deacons or the treasurer thinks you ought to give, but what the Lord would impress you to do. It says, in dependence upon God, I will endeavor to give each week or month my vow for the mission work of Metropolitan Baptist Church. And it just says, in the amount of. Now, of course, that amount there, and then beneath it, there's a box to check whether that's weekly or monthly. So please do both of those. And of course, as Brother Hudson has shared, where it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. There be no gatherings when I come. Again, Faith Promise has been an amazing way, and I've been involved with Faith Promise for 38 years, amazing way to see local church be able to finance for missions. And I know that might sound materialistic, but you know what? We pray and beg God to bless our missionaries, but they can't go without being sent with some resources, as the sign says. They got to be sent. And so we send them. And hopefully with the resources and neat things they need to further the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you've done this for years, then you know all about it. So for some of us here today, it might be the first time you've ever participated in a Faith Promise. And it's the beauty of it. Everybody can participate in Faith Promise, no matter how much you make or how little you make. It's what you're trusting God for, what he'd lay on your heart to give, whether great or small. It's all great to him, just like that widow's mite. So before you mark anything, I just want to pray together. God, accomplish his perfect, beautiful will. Lord, we love you today. We're so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that he gave himself on our behalf, that you, Father, were willing to give your only begotten Son your very best. Father, I pray today that as we seek your face, as Marcia and I seek your face concerning what you'd have us to do, that we'd both be obedient to you, and that each and every member, everyone that desires to be involved with our Faith Promise Missions program, that, Lord, we wouldn't hesitate to obey you on that amount that you're laying on our hearts right now. But also, Father, that we not be foolhardy, but totally, completely led and directed by your Holy Spirit. Lord, get glory from Metropolitan. I thank you for the rich, wonderful missions heritage. And in that, Father, what you've done, what you've been pleased to do through this people. We love you, and as Brother Hudson told us and reminded us, we love you because you first loved and gave to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, now we're not going to have the fellas come and collect those cards today. You might have noticed they put a couple plates down here on the communion table. And we're all going to dinner now. We're going to pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our lunch. And so what I'm asking to do is as you leave to go to the gymnasium, you just come by and drop your card there in one of the plates. And please realize, you know, over the years it seems like I'll choose under the Lord's direction to preach on giving or at different times on Faith Promise. And sure enough, there'll be somebody, they'll be upset because you preached on giving again. Well, you know, if I preached on giving as much as the Bible talks about giving, you'd hear it a whole lot more. And you know, the work of Christ goes on because God's people love him enough to see his work prosper, see souls saved. That's what about me? Amen. Well, what we're going to do now is stand again. Let's stand together. And we're going to ask the Lord's blessing on our lunch and our fellowship together. We'll have lunch. And The guys will be tallying these cards up. Brother Hudson's going to have a few remarks or thoughts, closing thoughts is what I told him as far as this afternoon. And then we'll let you know what this faith promise offering was. Father, once again, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all that we have because of him. And Father, as we dismiss, I pray that you dismiss us with your blessing. Pray that as we go to the fellowship hall, that our fellowship would be blessed. The food that our people have labored for and brought together and prepared, we thank you for your provision. And so all and everything, Father, it's been a wonderful week. Thank you for the testimonies we've heard. Thank you for the preaching of your word. Thank you that I could be here with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And thank you, Father, for Jesus. For it's in his name, for his glory, we pray. Amen. Amen. We won't be returning to the auditorium today. We'll just have our lunch, our after-lunch meeting in the gym, so just so you know that.